We welcome you this morning to the house of the Lord. We're glad that you are here, and we want to commence our worship service by singing Psalm 100. Let's stand as we worship God today. Let's be still for a moment before the Lord, preparing our hearts as we come into His holy presence. We might know His blessing upon this day, that you would know the blessing of the Word of the Lord written upon your heart, and it would be a strength to you, an encouragement to go forward. We will be established in the things of Christ. Let's bring our service before Him now. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we come this day, the return of the Lord's day, the Sabbath of rest, of worship, of thanksgiving and praise, a time for the Scriptures to be opened. And Lord, we pray that our hearts will be opened as well. Father, at the commencement of this service, you're asking for the help of the Spirit of God to direct every word, to help us in every prayer, audibly and silently in the heart. Bless as we read your holy word, stamp it, write it, impress it upon our hearts, so that we will be quickened, stirred, corrected, rebuked where necessary. And Lord, that we might know every step that we take, stepping by faith, walking in the fear of Thy holy name, Lord, as we come as your servants this day, we acknowledge again, Lord, as we look back and see the providential workings of your kind and loving care and hand. Lord, it is more than just amazing. It is humbling. It is stirring. Lord, it is that whereby we come to lift our voices and our hearts in thanksgiving and worship for all that we have seen, for all that has been done. We acknowledge, Lord, today, it is because of thy divine grace and mercy that we are found here today, seated, clothed in our right minds, and spiritually alive. Oh, Father, these things are tremendous blessings. We give thanks today for our Lord Jesus. We exalt his name. We lift up, Lord, his cross. And we are thankful for the day and the hour when the Spirit of God brought light to our darkened souls. And we were brought out of darkness of sin and corruption and depravity and into the light and the liberty of the sons of God. And now, Lord, today we know we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. We have a standing in heaven forever and forever. We will never be cast off into hell. Lord, I pray that every believer would rejoice with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. And that those who are without the Savior, they would be arrested in their mind. They would be awakened from their deadness. Lord, that you would do that effectual calling and working in their soul. Lord, is it not time for thee to work in this manner? Is it not time to save, Lord? The gospel and the word that has gone out time and time again, standing on the promises of the Scripture that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, we remember the day when we called. Remember the day, Lord, when we were washed of our sin and saved. Father, our desire is that that will be repeated to every family here, so that there would be no one left out, every family united in Christ. Those perhaps who have slidden away, become cold, Father, breathe upon them, we ask. Send the Spirit with power to their hearts and bring them back. Lord, do what we cannot do. Our words are so weak and helpless. And yet, Lord, we come today to depend 100%, Lord, upon your grace and name and word. And so I pray with thanksgiving today for mercies that are innumerable, blessings that we cannot properly be able to come to give thanks for, Lord. There are too many, and our minds are too weak and shallow to remember them all. We give thanks today, Lord, for every great grace and mercy. Fill us today with the joy and the peace of Christ. Grant to us the answer to our prayer for personal reviving. You know, Lord, that that personal reviving, the answer of it is that we will be more conformed to our Lord Jesus. That's what we want, Lord. That's what we're praying for. Advance us all spiritually. Quicken us, Lord, so that we will be more like our Lord Jesus. Keep us from sin. Lord, the devil would place temptation after temptation in front of us. And I pray that we will be kept. May the angel of the Lord encamp round about us so that we will be protected and strengthened, will not dishonor your holy name. Lord, hear our prayer today. When we look back, Lord, we lift our Ebenezer to God. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And yet we also know, standing in faith and upon the promises of the Word, that we will be helped until the day we're called home. or until our Lord Jesus comes back again. On that point, Lord, would we say, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Help us in our day. We want to be a bright light and a testimony from our congregation, across our city, across our province and nation. Lord, please make use of us in whatever way you please. Hear our prayer today. We acknowledge, Lord, so much. We acknowledge the history of mercies and blessings and providences. And we look back today on this notable and special day set aside to remember what the Lord has done for us. Lord, hear this, our prayer. Bless us now. Remember those who are grieving the loss of dear, precious loved ones. Remember those who can't be in our service this morning, even though they would love to be here, but their physical state, their age, their infirmity keeps them back. Ah, Lord, bless them where they are. Remember everyone watching online today. Thankful for everyone able to be here physically, in person, in our service. Lord, help us, we ask, to lift up the name of Christ as we sing, as we pray, as we give praise. May thy holy name be lifted up. Bless us now. We pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Awake, my soul, and with the sun. Let's stand again to praise the Lord. You'll see the words on the screen behind you.
Thank you.
Well, after we have been able to worship God with such a tremendous hymn, I pray that those words will not evaporate quickly from our minds. We will think on them, meditate deeply on the richness of their truth, and so that our hearts will be filled, our spirits overflowing with great thanksgiving to the one who has loved us with an everlasting love. Ah, friend, today, do you know him? Do you love Christ? Is he your possession now? Please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 8. Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hath crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and all the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. May God bless his holy and his precious word to our hearts today. It is good, as the Lord has told us and shown us in his word, to stop and remember. Life is hectic. I don't know that there's really any generation that would not apply. Life is busy. And in the active, busy, and sometimes hectic nature of things, well, we don't stop and reflect as often as we should. But today gives us an occasion for that reflection, and it's good. Today, July the 4th, 2021, marks the 45th anniversary of the first service that was held for the Free Presbyterian Church in Toronto. That day, well, it was full of excitement. Dr. McClellan will be sharing some personal reflections of that in more detail in a few moments. It's hard to remember, really, all the people that were there on that first meeting, full of press people, with all the excitement and the news of a church that was starting in Toronto under the influence of Dr. Ian Paisley. And that name, well, it triggered a lot of different emotions and senses in people across the world and certainly in Toronto. And so it was a very active and a busy meeting. But there are some folks who, well, were very much involved in the early days and the starting. of the fellowship in the church in 1976. But even before that, there was a group of Christians that formulated themselves under the Bible Presbyterian Church, very similar in many ways to our own denomination here. And in those early days, going back to 1968 is when it started, and going right up until really 1976, when there was a transition that took place, and it became the Free Church at that time. Well, the people who were here in those early and first days, there are still some surviving, and still some here. Of course, from the original Bible Presbyterian days, well, there are only one or two that are still standing. But of that day, in the early workings of the Lord through the times of 1976 and onward, of course, Dr. and Mrs. McClellan, because our brother was the founder of the church, of the Free Presbyterian Church in 1976 here, and he brought his family from overseas, and of course, Mrs. McClellan being with him, standing by his side all through that time. And in the church, and those still involved in the ministry here, well, we have Jill McClellan at that time, and now my dear wife, who has been faithful standing with me and by me and all through the ministry in the time here. And my own mom, Mrs. Saunders, 96 years of age at this time and still with us here. Our brother George Robinson at that time was one of the founding members of the church. Mrs. Sharon Kruger, Mrs. Heather Blair, and there are others who, well, as far as being a part of the ministry and a part of the early days of that work, well, you're looking at one of them, your pastor as well today. Though I hasten to add, in those early days, when the Lord was at work in the hearts of so many, God was doing a mighty work of both salvation and of restoration. It was really a reviving of God's Spirit among the people. And many of us look back to the gospel campaign that was held in 1976 in September when Dr. Paisley came over, and God did a work in many of our hearts, myself included at that time. We lift our thanksgiving to God today. We lift our praise, and it's not of men. It's not of man. In fact, as we often say, it's in spite of us that God does a work. And today, if you have come to the ministry subsequent to those early days, or you've come more recently, friends, take time to investigate your history. Take time to look and see the providential workings of God that has brought us to where we are today. Because all that you see around you and everything that has been accomplished here is by the great grace and magnificent power of our great God to us. And if He has pleased and been pleased to use us, it's in spite of our own weaknesses and all to the glory and praise of His great and holy name. We acknowledge Him today, our Lord and Savior. And I hope and pray that from this day forward, and for every day that the doors of this church building are open, that it will be always and only to lift up the Word of God and to lift up the Christ of God, and to acknowledge that the message of salvation is the only message that will ever reverberate from this pulpit sound and faithful to God's holy word. Christ is the only answer for the heart of man. He's the only answer to the need of Scarborough and Malvern, Toronto and Canada. And friends, may God ever use this congregation and this fellowship of people and bring to us those who are earnest for the very same things, so that we can go on to the next generation, spreading the message and the word of life and of hope and of truth. Yes, our place will be left vacant before too long. And who will it be that will stand to go forward to the next generation with the message of light and of hope and truth? Ah, friends, today is a day worth remembering, a day worth giving thanks to the God of heaven. And so we acknowledge and do that this morning with all our hearts. It is a blessing that on this very day of the 4th of July, being the first Lord's Day of the month, we'll be meeting around the Lord's table at the end of our meeting. This, of course, is for the Lord's people, those who are saved by His grace. If you do not know the Lord, you're welcome to remain, but please do not partake of the elements as they are presented to you. I would ask you to continue, please, to be in prayer for the elderly and the sick of our fellowship, that God would help and bless them and encourage their hearts and supply every need they have, and bring them back to be with us in the will of God as soon as they feel able. Do remember those who we've been thinking about in our Wednesday prayer meeting. I won't go through all the names now, but you know them, and I'm thankful for your faithful prayers for many of them. Remember today, the pre-service prayer time at 5:50. It will be in person in the basement and also via Zoom. And our evening service at 6:30. And I trust to be able to bring you the Word of God today, tonight. Wednesday evening will be our Bible study and prayer time. And our brother Daniel Simman will be bringing the devotional message on Wednesday night. And the prayer meeting will be in person in the basement and also via Zoom. Well, today is another special opportunity for us to acknowledge some very, very special and important people. Mrs. McClellan, I'd like you to please come up to the pulpit right now. So you put your shoes on and come up here, because if you don't know, at the organ, she has to take her shoes off in order to play the pedals. So you put your shoes on and you come up to the pulpit here for a moment. Now come a little closer, but don't come too close, because we have to do this social distancing thing, since we don't have masks on, so you just keep, we'll keep the 6 feet apart here. Yes. You know, over the years, we have joyfully acknowledged the faithful ministry of various people in our congregation, and it's been my delight and joy at the 20th anniversary of our church, and then at the 40th anniversary, and my, we're all getting a bit long in the tooth here, at the 40th anniversary, to acknowledge the faithful work, service and ministry of Mrs. McClellan. At the 40th anniversary, we presented her with a plaque acknowledging the years of service. But you know, I didn't want to let a day like this go by without paying tribute again to God's faithful servant. Do you know that for 45 years, from the very beginning service, our sister has been faithful in playing both the piano and the organ, so faithful in music ministry within our fellowship. It's my privilege to express to Mrs. McClellan heartfelt thanks. But not only for the organ And the music ministry, which is so beyond me, I have no music ability or talent, and yet God has granted to certain people those talents, and I am very thankful for that today. That not only though in the piano and organ, but in many other faithful areas, whether it was outreach in the community, handing out Sunday school leaflets or gospel tracts or being involved in Good News Bible Club, playing the piano for the Sunday school. These things are so important to ministry, and the pressure is ongoing. If you've ever been involved in any kind of music ministry, you know that there's tension is always there, and you're always concerned and wanting to do. Well, I know Mrs. McClellan has always wanted to do her very, very best. The service of God's faithful servant has gone far and wide. And beyond all of these other things, our dear sister was never, ever backward in getting involved in whether it was cleaning windows, scrubbing tables in the school, doing cleanup downstairs after the fellowship time, providing hospitality across the congregation. Many of you know and have been on the receiving end of that. Visiting those who are shut in, phone calls, cards, doing all kinds of ministry. And it's a tremendous blessing because her labors in and for the Lord, they have been just that. She has not done this for any want of praise. In fact, standing up here right now is the very last thing in the last place in the world she wants to be. I know that. But I believe it's important for everyone here also to be able to take part in thanking God for the mercies and the blessings. And so I want to take this opportunity today to make just a very, very simple presentation of some flowers to our sister as a small token of marking the day and of thanksgiving from all of you to her as well for her faithful labors and ministry. Just 1 second. So let me place those in your hands there today. You're not going to say anything? You sure? Okay, all right.
It's been my joy. Folks, it's been my joy for 45 years. God gave me that little chore to do, and I have truly enjoyed it every time, every day. It's never been a job. It's been a joy. Thank you.
It's never a bad thing to stay in good terms with the mother-in-law as well. Just letting you know that. It's never a bad thing. You might get an extra loaf of bread delivered sometime, maybe. You know, that might happen. And some extra piece of dessert or something is always very, very good. We're going to sing again to the Lord's praise now. Number 53 in your hymnal, if you're at home and you're using your book. But this is a very timely hymn. Give to our God immortal praise. And the tune is called McClellan, written by our sister Joan Pinkston from our Greenville congregation in South Carolina. Please remain seated while we sing.
Thank you.
final two verses. It is almost impossible to be able to give fitting words of introduction to the founder of this ministry, the one under God who has been responsible for what you see around you. Humanly speaking, and by the divine providence of God, the ministry of Whitfield Christian Schools and the encouragement, the work of God in salvation in the hearts of so many people, used of God to minister His Word into our souls so that we have grown in Christ. Many of you are the recipients of God's grace and kindness through His servant. And today we pay loving tribute to Dr. Frank McClellan. He said to me some time ago, "I'm no longer getting old, I am old." Well, that may be so. The Lord tells us in His Word that the righteous will shine brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. And God's grace and mercy has been upon His servant. And I want to just acknowledge that today with thanksgiving to the Lord. For all that has been accomplished, for all that He has equipped His servant to do, we are grateful, brother, today, and I'm very happy that he willingly acknowledged to come and share testimony this morning. You know, we have been praying for him in the areas of physical weakness that he has, and more so recently. And so getting up and standing before the congregation is not an easy task. Now, let me tell you, as a pastor, it's never an easy task, but even more difficult when age and other problems come inside to that. But I'm very happy that our brother has agreed to come and share testimony and then bring the Word of God to you today before we have our time of communion service. Brother.
Thank you, Pastor Saunders, for those kind words. I appreciate them very much. It's quite a while since I've been up in this pulpit, and I have to say that I'm more nervous today than I was 45 years ago for that first service that we had on Cosburn Avenue. But the first thing I have to do...
Brother, take your mask off.
I'm coming to that.
Oh, you're coming to that.
That's point number two. I have to take this thing off, and I'm glad to get it off. And just want to ask you people, do you know what you get when you wear a mask and glasses? Well, you're entitled to some condensation. Well, it takes some of you a little while to catch that. But it's good to be here, and I want to read a few verses from Psalm number 66, which I have always regarded as a special psalm for us, because it is the sort of history of our congregation. If I can find Psalm 66. I'm going to read from verse number 8. Psalm 66, verse 8. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us, thou hast tried us, as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net, thou laidest affliction upon our loins, thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. And the Lord has blessed us and the whole psalm, but we haven't time to read the whole psalm today. July the 4th, Independence Day, is an important date in the history of the United States of America, and the people there are having a good time reflecting on the things of the history of our church. But this day is also important to us, because on this very day, Sunday the 4th of July, 1976, 45 years ago, we first met as a congregation to worship the Lord. And the place was an old building on Cosburn Avenue in East York. And if you go to the corridor out there, you'll see the three pictures of the history of our church, and you'll see a picture of that old building that we met in. It was rented from East York School Board, but not for very long, because we started on that first Sunday of July, and we finished our ministry on the last Sunday of July, because they decided they were going to demolish the building to keep us from getting in. But those were tough days, but the Lord was good to us. And the press had heard that the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster was planning to start a church in Canada, and that we were associated with Dr. Ian Paisley, the moderator of the Free Church, and in association with several ecumenical clergymen, they started a campaign to prevent us from coming into Canada. And I heard in my home in Ireland the radio news that they were trying to keep us out of the country. The then Attorney General of Ontario, Roy McMurtry, he petitioned his counterpart in Ottawa, in the federal government, to have us banned from entry into Canada. And because of that, I had to fly out the next day, get tickets and so on, and make changes for my wife and family, who were planning to come on the 27th of June. And so it was a rough time in those days. But we had passed the Canadian consular regulations with flying colours. We needed 55 points to emigrate. We got 67, and so we were clear there. And the consul, actually, he approved of our emigration, and he said to me, you are the people, the sort of people that we want in our country. And so we were well covered and we were very happy about that. The extra 3 weeks that I had here allowed me time to get a home ready for me and for the family to arrive on June the 27th. And I was also able to listen while I was here to the media, the political and religious opposition that was being piped out from the newspapers, the radios, and the televisions. And it was interesting to listen to them. And they had no idea that I was in the country listening to them. And especially do I remember Pierre Burton and Charles Templeton, who used to have a dialogue radio program, and they were mouthing off about this country has regulations for keeping wrong food from getting into this country. And they said, we ought to have regulations to keep people like Paisley and McClelland out of the country. And I'm listening. And so it was an interesting time, a very interesting time indeed. But July the 4th was hastening upon us, and that was the day that when we planned to take over and have our first service. And it looked like Dr. Saunders, he said it would be an exciting time. It was an exciting time, but with a rather negative basis to it. It was a tough time indeed. And I must pay tribute to those original members. Most of them are at home in glory, and I've been very happy to be able to see them go over there, and they're waiting for the rest of us to come in our due time. But I must pay tribute to them, because they faced, before I came, they faced a storm of opposition from the ecumenical leaders and so on. But not one of them flinched. They stood by the stuff, and I want to pay a tribute to them, because it was a tough time. And I must admit that we faced a considerable trepidation when we thought about the service, the potential service. How many people are going to be there? Would we have a congregation at all? Would there be a public protest mounted against us, because you have no idea what the press were doing to us at that time? It was awful. And we wondered what would happen. But we need not have worried, because the Lord was put providentially in this, and he would take care of the details, and he did. And that little building was demolished 4 weeks later, and we had to go elsewhere. But the Lord was good to us, and I've always said that was the best thing that ever happened to our little congregation. Because if we had just started off there, we'd still be there. But the Lord, he pushed us out, and we had to move first of all to the school on Pharmacy, Wexford Public School. Then we had to go from there to Warden Avenue, where the Lord wonderfully provided a building for us there. And then, of course, what you see here today. The Lord gave us a great promise, and that promise was, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this, from the book of Chronicles. And so the Lord was good to us, and he was here to help us. I arrived in the church on that morning to be warmly greeted by Elder Frank Hinbest. He was the first an elder from the Bible Presbyterian days, and the church, which would have held, I think, about 80 people, it was well filled on that morning. The congregation was made up of about 25 original members and associates. Plus, there were many there to see what all this media furor was about. And then, as well as that, we had quite a number of reporters from the various media branches there, hoping to find something that they would be grist for their mill and be opposed to us. Let me tell you, friends, fake news is not a new thing. It was here in 1976, and we faced it, but the Lord was good to us. In those days, the Toronto Star carried about 3 pages of church ads. And the sad thing is that today I don't think the Toronto Star carries any church ads at all. Used to have 3 pages, and I decided that I would put an ad in for that first Sunday, and we did for many Sundays after that. And in the these press people, they were looking for some sort of a diatribe that I might bring against the Pope or against Romanism or against the ecumenical movement. They had said that we were going to do that, and they were hoping, but they were disappointed because the Lord gave me a message, and that message was our message for Metro, and Metro, of course, Metropolitan Toronto. And of course, they thought that I was going to bring some sort of diatribe that they could feast on. But that was the text: "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And still there, that text there was made by Frank Hinbest, who was a carpenter, and it was first of all put up in Wharton Avenue, and then it was installed here. And that is the message that we had for Metro: "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And if you find the Lord Jesus Christ here and you take him as your Savior, then our 45 years of service is nothing. It's a blessing indeed. That I was thinking of the godly the preacher Samuel Rutherford from Scotland. In fact, I have in my Bible here a little bit about him and a little poem that he made. He lived in a place called Anwath in Scotland. "Fair Anwath by the Solway, to me thou art still dear. Even from the verge of heaven I shed for thee a tear. But if one soul from Anwath that meets me at God's right hand, my heaven will be 2 heavens in Emmanuel's land." I want to change that just a little bit and take the word Anwath and Solway out and put in Malvern and Highway. "Fair Malvern by the highway, to me thou art still dear. Even from the verge of heaven I shed for thee a tear. But if one soul from Malvern meets me at God's right hand, my heaven will be 2 heavens in Emmanuel's land." I want to speak to you very briefly on that text up there, that "Behold the Lamb of God." It's just an outline, really, and I want these words to ring out again from this pulpit. They have been, of course, through our present pastor, but my heaven would be 2 heavens if somebody here today on this 45th anniversary came to know the Lord Jesus and was saved by his grace on this anniversary Sabbath. "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The first thing that strikes me here is the sinfulness of man. John the Baptist, who gave these words, he spoke of the sin of the world. And sin is a stark, tragic fact. It is proved by the word of the Lord, because in Romans 3:23, it says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God," and that includes every single one of us here. We're all sinners in the sight of a holy God. And then it's also proved by the state of this world. You have people thinking that this world is getting better. Is it getting better? No, last night my wife and I were up here at the church, the way down we put on the radio news to hear what was happening, and it was awful. Just, you listen to murdered, as close as Kennedy. People murdered, shot, stabbed. It's just awful. And anybody who says that this world is getting better, I'm afraid they've got a very wrong view of things. I have to say, sadly, no. And also, the reality of sin is found in our own heart, because you know and I know the things that we think and the things that we do that we ought not to do, and our highest motives and our loftiest ideals are but as filthy rags. That's what Isaiah tells us in chapter 64. The question comes, what is sin? Sin is simply disobedience. God said to Adam and Eve regarding the forbidden fruit, don't. And they did. And by so doing, they sinned and brought punishment upon themselves, and they brought punishment upon the whole race, because all of us have sinned and we have disobeyed God. And sin separates from God, and sin brings punishment. You go up Markham Road now, and if you try driving at the earlier speed limit, that's fine. That's fine. But now they've reduced it to 50 kilometres, and I don't know how many people I have seen caught on Markham Road, which is a big wide road, at 50 kilometres. You see, when you break the law, you are going to be punished. You're going to pay for it. And when you break God's law, there is the awful punishment of eternity without God and in the presence of the devil in his dwelling place of hell that was made for him and his angels. But John the Baptist went on and he says, behold the Lamb of God. So it is the Lamb of God we're looking at and what we're asked to concern ourselves with. That's a sort of strange message, but it is a message of love and a message of hope. You'll notice that John the Baptist didn't say, behold the Son of God. Now that would have been right because he was the Son of God, but he didn't say that. He didn't stand up to the people and say, behold the Lion of God. That's also true because he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He said, behold the Lamb of God. And that's why we keep this text up there, so the people who come into this place will be reminded of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. John wants us to look upon the Lamb of God. Now, the Lamb's not something new that you find in the New Testament. The Lamb was prophesied in Genesis when Abraham was going to sacrifice his son on God's instructions. His son Isaac said, where is the... We've got the sticks here for the fire. Where is the Lamb? And God's answer was wonderful. It was, God will provide himself a lamb. And so he did the lamb was prophesied way back in Genesis. It was typified in Exodus chapter 12, where you have instructions regarding the Passover. And so when the people put the blood to the doorposts and lintels of their houses in Egypt, it was an indication of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that was coming at a later time. He was, the Lamb was personified. Read Isaiah chapter 53, go through it and mark all the the personal pronouns. There are 12 verses there, and there are 49 personal pronouns, telling us we're not dealing with a natural lamb, dealing with a person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Lamb, of course, was identified by John when he gave that tremendous message, "Behold the Lamb of God." Then you have the Lamb crucified. And Peter tells us in his first epistle there that we're not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And right now, we have the Lamb glorified, because in Revelation 5 and 12, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and blessing." Worthy is the Lamb. So John the Baptist identified Christ as the sacrificial Lamb of God, the only way of salvation. And what a message. I'd love to have been there to hear John say those words, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The sufficiency of the sacrifice, note the words where it says, "which taketh away the sin of the world." Man's problem is the disease of sin. But the good news is that the disease can be healed. What would it be like if there was a surefire cure for COVID-19? People would be rushing to get the cure. But there is no cure like that for the pandemic, but there is for the pandemic of sin. The hymn says, "What can take away my sin?" And the answer is nothing, nothing but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I used to have a nice suit that was a sort of greeny color, pale green, and I liked that suit until one day I had a pen in my inside pocket, one of those pens that you don't want to get them on your clothing, and pen opened, and the next thing I see is a big blue mark here. Now, I tried everything I could do to get that stain away. Used all kind, took it to cleaners, and finally had to throw the suit out because it couldn't be cleansed. But thank God, when you look at the sin of our hearts, cannot be cleansed by anything else but by the blood of the Lord Jesus. What can take away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. One final word, and that is the simplicity of the gospel. The key word is behold. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's not difficult. If the Lord said to you that in order to blot out your sins, you have to actually climb Mount Everest, and you couldn't do it. Some people could do it, but we couldn't do it. We wouldn't be saved. If the Lord said to us that if you want to be saved, you've got to swim right across Lake Ontario from here to the other side, we couldn't do that. Some might, but most wouldn't. Couldn't do it. And if the Lord was to say that if you want to be into heaven, what you need is to build an important cathedral, we couldn't do it because we don't have the ability or the equipment for doing it. All God says is, look, Isaiah chapter 45, you got that wonderful verse, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there's none else." And so on that first Sunday, we preached the gospel according to John 1 and 29. The text is still there, and anybody coming in here hears the same message. Some churches today have changed their message as time has gone on. They've modernized it or something else. But this church here, as Dr. Saunders has said, we will continue to preach the old-fashioned gospel of the Lord Jesus. And if there's a soul here this morning and you're battling with yourself and you know that you're not a Christian, let me tell you, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The Lord, he will save you, and he'll save you this very day. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee this morning for this service, and we thank thee especially for 45 years of thy good hand upon us. O God, we started out, we did not know what the future held, but Lord, thou hast done wonderful things, and we say this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Lord, speak, we pray, and if there is an unsaved soul here, we pray it today, they would come to know the Lord Jesus, whom to know is life everlasting.
We thank our brother for sharing that faithful message of God's word. We have a special blessing today. Mrs. McClelland is going to close our meeting by singing a solo, a hymn. And if you folks, if anyone is not remaining for communion service, then please wait until our sister has finished, and you'll have an opportunity to leave at that point. Mrs. McClelland, please come and sing.
Why did they nail him to Calvary's tree? Why, tell me, why was he there? Jesus, the helper, the healer, the friend. Why, tell me, why was he there? All my iniquities on him were laid. He nailed them all to the tree. Jesus, the debt of my sin fully paid. He paid the ransom for me. Why should he love me, a sinner undone? Why, tell me, why should he care? I do not merit the love he has shown. Why, tell me, why should he care? All my iniquities on him were laid. He nailed them all to the tree. Jesus, the debt of my sin fully paid. He paid the ransom for me. Why should I linger afar from His love? Why, tell me, why should I fear? Somehow I know I should venture and prove. Why, tell me, why should I fear? All my iniquities on Him were laid. He nailed them all to the tree. Jesus, the debt of my sin, fully paid.